This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman, and we're continuing our series with the Harvard Business Review, looking at how to survive the workplace. Now, I consider myself pretty lucky. I like my job. I work with a bunch of smart people who do really great journalism, and I get to host the show. So all in all, it's a pretty good gig, except when it's not. And often when that happens, it's my own fault. I have a to-do list that is a mile long, and it just keeps growing. Why do we do this to ourselves, find every excuse to put off doing the things that we need to do, and wait until the last possible minute?
You know, one of the first reasons we put things off is that we're actually afraid that we might fail at whatever that thing is. You know, you're putting off a project because, frankly, you're just not that sure it's going to work, and you're a little bit nervous about it, and so you just don't want to think about it.
This is Heidi Grant Halverson.
I'm Associate Director of the Motivation Science Center at Columbia Business School. I do research on and write books about how we can use strategies to be more effective in our everyday lives.
Heidi says thinking about failure can keep us from doing the things that we really want to do.
When most people think about their goals, they think about them, you know, if I complete this project, then good things will happen. That way of thinking we call having a promotion focus, right? Like if I reach a goal, then I get some benefit from it. The problem with that way of thinking is that when we think we might not succeed, it's really demotivating.
But if we flip things around and use that fear to our advantage, Heidi says that can actually motivate us.
There's another way to think about your goals where doubting yourself actually has an advantage, and we call that prevention focus. That's taking the same goal, right? I have to complete this project, but instead thinking about everything you might lose or all the bad things that will happen if you don't succeed. People who are prevention-focused never procrastinate.
So a little guilt, a little fear about the consequences of not doing it might actually help.
It's like scare your pants off a little bit. I think there's a lot of advice out there in the business community that seems to be related to this idea that being positive is always good and being optimistic is always good. And, you know, we should never, ever say anything bad and never think negative thoughts and cross the word impossible out of your vocabulary. And that kind of advice is just terrible.
Why?
Because it's actually not productive. There are many, many times when we need to take the potential negative consequences of something very seriously, and that it's very motivating to do so. You know, people can be very motivated by frustration, by dejection, by anxiety. You know, there's a lot of us that get a lot of work done because we are channeling, taking those negative emotions and using them as fuel to drive us to do better.
Is part of the problem with trying to get things done that we want to feel that I'm ready to get
Absolutely.
This done?
Absolutely. And I think that's the sort of a second big category of procrastination is this idea that you need to feel like doing something in order to do it. And if I can't get myself to feel like it, then I guess I can't do it. And it's just not true. And in fact, actually, what we find is that a lot of people who are very successful in the arts, for example, so writers, artists, musicians, when you look at their daily routines, what you find is that almost all of the really successful ones have created routines in their lives so that they will work regardless of how they feel. They'll write for a certain number of hours, regardless of whether or not they feel like writing. There's a great quote from Chuck Close, the artist, who said, you know, inspiration is for amateurs. The rest of us just show up and go to work.
So routine is really crucial.
Routine is absolutely crucial. What you need to do is actually decide in advance when and where you're going to do it. It's a really powerful strategy. It's called if-then planning. And it's really good for kind of creating these routines. What you basically are doing is saying, not sometime today I'm going to return that phone call, or sometime this week I'm going to go to the gym, or sometime this week I'm going to finish up that project. But instead you say, okay, at Wednesday at 2 o'clock, you know, at my desk, I'm going to work on this project. I'm going to return that phone call. In the mornings, you know, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday before I go to work, that's when I'm going to exercise.
It sounds like, though, there's a little bit of set those things up and then don't think about it. Like, just if you're going to say I'm going to work out in the morning at 6 a.m., can't think about it. You just have to do it.
The place where most of us get derailed when it comes to reaching our goals is when we're deliberating about what to do, right? So, you know, if your goal is that you're on a diet and you say, okay, you know what, I'm trying to lose some weight. I'm going to go into this restaurant and I'm going to be good That's one of those things dieters love to say. I'm going to be good.
I'm going to get the salmon, not the hamburger.
Exactly. I'm going to be good. Well, and then you come in and then you start a negotiation process with yourself because suddenly be good. Well, what does be good mean? Well, suddenly be good means
I'll have the burger but a salad.
Exactly. Right. I'll have the burger, but I won't get fries. And so in those moments when we haven't decided exactly what we're going to do and when and where we're going to do it, that's where these conversations start happening with yourself. And that's where a lot of procrastination happens. That's where a lot of giving into temptation happens because
we start feeling upset that we didn't live up to the goals that we've set for ourselves.
Yeah, we're really good at rationalizing our choices. So don't give yourself room to rationalize your choices. Don't think a lot about whether or not you feel like doing something. Don't debate with yourself over what the best course of action is. Decide in advance what you're going to do. And then in that moment, when you're really kind of, oh, I don't want to do this, you know, or I would really rather have that donut, or I would really rather not make that phone call. It doesn't matter because you already decided this is when you're going to do it.
And shut off the thinking.
Shut off the thinking and just do it.
If you do this, these sort of, you know, make yourself just do it in a way. Mm-hmm. If you do accomplish it in the end, what's the resulting experience?
Getting going is the hardest part. But once you get going, people are like, oh, I should have done this a long time ago. And they feel that immediate relief. They feel effective and productive. And more we're realizing feeling effective and feeling like you're making progress toward a goal is perhaps sort of the experience that human beings, you know, relish the most. People want to feel like they are moving forward.
Is there something, though, that we like about procrastinating?
You know, that moment when you pop the candy bar in your mouth is a great moment, but then it's over, and now you have to live for the next several hours with the knowledge that you should not have eaten that candy bar and feeling terrible about it. We're very bad at judging how we're going to feel in the future about something. I think in those moments, we're often not even thinking about how we're going to feel in the future. But if we were, you know, we probably wouldn't think about how awful it's going to be.
Finally, to sum up, like, what would be your takeaway from this discussion?
Yeah, I think that it's important to realize that when you're procrastinating, the problem is probably not that you don't want it enough. You know, it's not a commitment problem. It's an execution problem. We're not good at executing the goals we're really committed to. So you need some help. You know, and you need to keep in mind that you don't need to feel like it to do something. And it's okay to, you know, think about all the things that might go wrong and give yourself a little jolt of fear to get the ball rolling if that's what you need. And then I think finally, if you just take a moment to decide exactly when and where you're going to do the things that you've been procrastinating about, you are much more likely to actually get them done.
Heidi, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Heidi Grant Halvorsen is an author and associate director at Columbia Business School's Motivation Science Center. So let's summarize the three things Heidi says we need to do. Number one, fear the consequences of not doing something instead of thinking about possibly failing. Next, forget about feeling like you want to do the work. That's just not going to happen. Finally, make a plan, be specific, and stick to it. We have a link to Heidi's article for the Harvard Business Review at our website, moneytalking.org. And if this discussion has inspired you to stop putting off things at the office, check out our other conversations with HBR authors about surviving the workplace. Next up, we're looking at how to manage the transition back to work after you've been on maternity leave.
The formal policy isn't always matched by the way that people internally in the organization may look at a woman who's going out or has gone out or is about to go out on maternity leave. So it's your actual day-to-day job and the people you're working with that make the biggest difference.
Do you have a story about your return to work? Tell it to us. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. Or even better, record your story using an app on your phone and email that. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.